أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن؟ Here is a question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who will be an army that will help you besides Ar-Rahman? If you leave Ar-Rahman, then who else is there whom you will turn to who can help you? Do you have an army? Do you have a large army? Or trust on someone who will come to your aid and save you? Is there anyone else there who, when you need help with anything, you can call upon to save yourself from the punishment of Allah or to save yourself from Allah? Who is there as an army for you? When man doesn't believe in Allah, then he must have trust on someone or something else they feel can help them against Allah. If not, then whose base are you continuously disobeying? This is for all of us. When we disobey Allah, we must have an army as our support who will say not to put so-and-so in the torment. And here it doesn't say min duni Allah, but min duni Rahman. Why does it say min duni Rahman? What is wrong with you? You leave the one most merciful and put your reliance on others. Then have you thought or planned of others you will rely on as support? Is this your assumption, that someone will stand up for you? If Ar-Rahman doesn't wish mercy for anyone, then who else will come in support and have mercy on you, or will take punishment due upon you, upon themselves? If Ar-Rahman doesn't show mercy, then there is no other. Then how do you leave Ar-Rahman? Here it is left open-ended as an invitation to only to turn to Ar-Rahman. إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. And the disbeliever is not except in a deception. What is their deception? They're thinking, assuming, that nothing will happen, and that all these things are just tales. This is the illusion when a person thinks nothing will happen, as he is safe and secure, or thinks that they have many fans or supporters, or they are popular and have a big name. This is the deception. No matter how many fans or supporters anyone has in this life, they cannot confront Allah, nor are they able to save anyone from the punishments of Allah. This is why Allah questions, what are you thinking? What do you have pride in? Which army will come save you? Who will confront Allah? Is there anyone there? Do you have ready and standing armies? Did anyone give you an assurance? أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. Or who is one who will provide sustenance for you if he withholds your provision of sustenance? If he withholds and stops your provision, then who will bring your sustenance? Risk or provision of sustenance is not just money or foodstuff. No, rather risk or provision of sustenance includes all things needed for a person's survival and sustenance. Every blessing that Allah has bestowed is risk. Whether it is health, peace and security of heart, beloved relations, these are all in risk or provision of sustenance. It could also be supplications of someone on our behalf, or care from someone. All are needs of sustenance. We cannot limit what is included in the provisions of sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if Allah withholds it, including earning of money and food, in the broader sense, any other things just mentioned, it could also include the wind and the rain, because Allah has the control over them, and this is something He bestows. If He says, you don't obey me, so I will not give it to you, what will the person say? Or is it our right? Or do we pay a price for all these blessings? Did we buy the oxygen or the water or the rain? or the peace and tranquility in a person's heart. All these were bestowed by Allah. When our child doesn't listen, we tell them, if you don't listen, I will take this or that away from you. If Allah tells us that if man you don't obey, then I will withhold your provision, then who else is there to bring it back to us? Is there anyone other than Allah who can bring it? We get a big lesson of Tawheed in this ayah. We realize that all provisions of sustenance are in the hands of Allah, and only Allah can save us, no other army. And when we say, who else can bring us provisions, it also includes children. Then who else can anyone turn to? Allah questions, is there anyone else? بَلَّجُّوا فِي عُطُوٍ وَنَفُورٍ. Rather, they obstinately persist in insolence and aversion. Laj is for when a person becomes extremely stubborn, at an extreme level, and swears not to move from his point of view. They are stubborn and persistent upon that which is wrong. Fiatu, in insolence and crossing limits. When a person disobeys due to arrogance, he says, why should I listen to anyone else? This is atu. So we learn, Lajju is someone stubborn and stuck on his way, not willing to change or go against his or her wishes. Because of atu, due to arrogance, saying, I will do whatever I want. And when the person is stubborn against the commands of Allah, which not only disbelievers do, but also some Muslims. Wanafur, an aversion or flight. So they are stuck upon their transgressions and aversions, being turned away. They show arrogance in their disobedience and being stuck upon what is wrong. Nafur means being far away from deen. When everything is in the hands of Allah, how do you show arrogance and be stubborn against the commands of Allah? What are they doing? These ayahs in form of questions are thought-provoking. We are not just told that your provisions are in the hands of Allah, but when asked in form of a question, it makes men think that if Allah withholds the provisions, then who else would they turn to? Who will provide? And they realize that all things of sustenance are in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions and makes us contemplate. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away any of our blessings, who will bring them back? Allah is one taking care of everything. He is one who spread the earth. He is holding up the sky, the birds, and guarding them. He is the one who has placed provision of sustenance for mankind upon the earth. We are taught obedience of everything. But what does man do? Lajju fiyatu yu wanafur. Look at everything in the universe, all are upon obedience of Allah, and man, you are walking in the opposite direction. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example. Is one who is walking with his head down and feet up on his face more guided, or one walking straight? Sawiyan is straight and upright. So one type of person is Lajju fi atuyin wa nafur. When he is reminded about Allah, he remains stubborn upon disobedience, and he has so much arrogance, he considers himself better. Allah gives an example of two people and makes a comparison by the position of these two people. Whoever is stuck up and is arrogant is compared to someone whose head is bent down and walking upon his head. As we learn that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will make some people walk upon their heads, as mentioned in a hadith. Upon hearing this, the companions asked how this would happen. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who can make a person walk upon his feet, he can make them walk on their heads. there will be these people as well who were arrogant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, who is more guided? Can one who is walking on his head be guided? He didn't raise his head, but is looking down, and not looking to where he is walking. How will he see the straight way? And the one who has his head up and looking and watching where he is going will find a way. Here we learn from the descriptions of the positions of man. One who is bent down is only looking on the ground, will not see straight ahead to where he is going, while the other one who is walking straight will find his way. First one shows humiliation, and the second one shows respect. Whoever doesn't walk straight while looking because he doesn't see the straight way will be in humiliation. This example is like a dog who walks with his head down, smelling the ground. Because it follows the certain smell to reach a place, it could be to a dead animal or a rodent, but gets there following after its smell. The dog goes where he senses the smell and goes after it. Similarly, a person who goes after his desires is like this dog. This person goes wherever his desires take him. His head is down, and his only concerns are with his own desires. He will only go where the desires take him. He doesn't care which way it is, whether if there is a pit ahead, even. If we imagine a dog walking with his head down and following after the scent, how will a person walking this way gain guidance? Guidance will only be received by someone who is looking while walking, and he is using his intellect and is conscious, and he makes sure he stays upon the straight way. Allah asks, who is more guided? So don't live like an animal who only lives to fulfill its needs and desires and follows the basic animal instincts. So don't live life on this basis. Life of a believer is not based on following his basic animal instincts. Rather, he has a goal in life, and he is not just occupied in food, working and fulfilling his needs, his desires, and making homes. He doesn't just live in this world just to get up to go to work and return home and sleep, then on weekends taking care of his needs of home and to go on vacation, and that's it. Then his life ends. The one with iman or faith doesn't come in this world for this purpose. He knows that there is a higher purpose for his life. Even animals are eating and drinking, and this is not why Allah created us. A believer has a higher goal. So there are comparisons of two people, rather two types of lives. One is living with walking on his head and doesn't see anything, nor to his left nor to his right, and he only sees himself. While the other person walks straight, he has an aim in life and walks upon the straight way. But only those who recognize Allah can do this, and those who know what is Sirat al-Mustaqim and know that there is a purpose of life can walk straight. We can also see which from the two is better, who is respectful. One's position shows it is not of respect. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمَعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Say. Here it says say, because now Allah doesn't want to speak. He has admonished us in so many ways. But if someone still doesn't understand, then Allah doesn't want to speak to them. But O Prophet, you tell them. We see Qul 6 times before the end of this surah. From this we see that the disbelievers would question or say things, whose response is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, He is the one who created you. Where were you 100 years ago? What existence did we have? Nothing. He is one who created you, gave you an existence. that you are something today and have a recognition. He is the one who made for you ears, eyes, and hearts. What are ears and eyes? They are sources of hearing and seeing. And hearts, as we learned, there is a difference in the word qalb, which is a word for a heart also, and fu'ad. Qalb can be any heart, but when af'ida is mentioned, it refers to the feelings and sentiments in the heart, the thoughts and the desires, ambitions. These are referred. Allah gave hearts so you mankind would think and understand. He gave eyes and ears. These are faculties man uses to see and hear, to understand. And then the heart processes the information and comes to a certain conclusion. So these are the blessings of Allah. Allah gave these to man for a purpose. While Allah has given ears and eyes even to the cows and other animals, having some limited intellect. But what we have been given as humans is not equal to the animals. Therefore, we have a responsibility and are of the chosen ones among the creation. We are at the highest level because of these faculties. When we hear, we don't just hear sounds. We can process what the sound is saying. When our eyes see, we can know the difference between what we see. For example, if we are looking at flowers or a knife, it's not that we do not know what they are. When our eyes see, we understand and our mind processes what we see. But قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, very little you give thanks. There are very few in the mankind who give thanks. The second meaning is the quantity of shukr or gratitude is very little. We give very little thanks. Those who are knowledgeable about the medical sciences will know how sophisticated is the system of the eyes. The function is so elaborate that allows us to see how the image reaches the brain and how it is processed. And the receptors in the ears that process the sound and makes to reach the brain, how these processes occur. These are elaborate systems at work. If man studies them, becomes amazed how Allah made them. A blind person has eyes but cannot see because the system does not work. And everyone has ears but a person who is deaf. The sounds reach his ears but the system is not there to process it. How did Allah create these systems? Both recognize the differences. An ear recognizes if the voice is loud or low, or if from nearby or from far away, or even if a voice is there, is sad or happy or crying, it can recognize. Eyes can see the size, the color, the distance of the object, and so many other things. If the eye could not tell the distance, for example, how far is that book? And if I were to pick up the book, I would reach my hand somewhere else while the book would be somewhere else. If the eyes could not tell me that. Those who are colorblind cannot see the varying colors of the objects. Everything is black and white for them. Man should think what Allah has given him. Very little thanks we give. Our complaints are more and gratitude is far less. Someone shared a story. Once there was a king of a kingdom who asked his minister, "My servants and soldiers, how do they live so peacefully while I have such a big kingdom, yet I have no peace?" The minister said, "If you put them on the test of 99, they too will lose their peace." So the king asked, "How?" The minister said, "Put outside each of these persons' house a bag with coins and write 100 on it." The king sent one of his servants and had him place that bag outside his home. He knocked the door and hid. when the soldier came out and took the bag inside. He saw 100 coins written on it. He became very happy, but when he counted the coins, there were only 99. So he became worried and thought that one of it got lost somewhere. He told his family to look everywhere. They looked inside the house and outside the house while he was looking, but did not find the missing one. He became very angry at his family. He lost sleep, and even the next day he was very frustrated, worried over that one missing coin. Then the minister said, "Look, we gain lesson that man tires himself over that one and doesn't give thanks for the 99 that are with him. He doesn't see that he was bestowed with them and loses peace and sleep over that one missing. Are we too like that? If one thing doesn't go right, do we lose sleep over that one and grieve over it and forget the 99 blessings we are bestowed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He gave us countless blessings that we cannot even count. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. There are very few who give thanks. And even in our lives, we give very little thanks. Not just when we get reminded when we read this ayah. No, this is only gratitude by tongue. Do we have feeling of Allah's greatness? And is our heart filled with overwhelming gratitude for Allah? Then our hearts submit to Allah, and we praise Allah when we recognize the bestowals. Then gratitude will be felt. The third thing is to use these blessings in the way of Allah. Then the right of giving gratitude will be fulfilled. Giving thanks is not just by one verbally saying Alhamdulillah. There is more after that. We must also be aware where these blessings are being used. Our ears hear everything but avoid hearing the words of Allah. With these eyes, we read and see everything. We watch all types of shows and movies, but we have no time for reading the Quran. And the heart is filled with so many other matters and has no time for gratitude. Is this being thankful? قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَعَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, He is one who spread you in the earth. O Prophet, tell them, He is Allah, don't forget Him. He is the one who spread you in the earth and became scattered. But remember the one who created you, He will gather you. We see two opposite things, His scattering and His gathering. One who can scatter can also collect and gather. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, when will this promise come true? Referring to the day of Qiyamah, if you are truthful. They would ask collectively. They would say, if you say so much about the day of Qiyamah is coming, then when will it come? Say to them, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. Say, indeed, the knowledge is with Allah alone. I am only a warner. This ayah teaches us a lot of things. The time period we are in, when we see criticism against Islam, we learn how to respond. When the Quraysh of Makkah used to ask the Prophet when, they were not asking when it was coming so they could prepare. They were actually mocking, saying, when is it coming? Tell us. So we know you speak the truth. So tell us it's time of coming. Here we learn how to respond when we get questioned, which only serve as a mockery or taunt. What we learn is that it is not necessary to give the same answer as asked. Have to respond accordingly. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ is told to tell them, its knowledge is with Allah. Do not need to make up any other response. And second, Allah says, قُلْ, say to them. Not فَقُلْ, so say to them. In فَقُلْ is think and wait and then respond. While قل, rather respond immediately. Secondly, it has confidence. إِنَّمَا الْإِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This is a direct response with confidence. It is important not to get emotional or upset or offended, saying you are only making fun of my religion, or you will find out, you will go to hell. No, there is no need to get emotional, nor resort to screaming. Rather, have to remain calm and composed and respond calmly and say, indeed, if knowledge is with Allah, even if they come with pride or a putting down attitude, even if no, they have come to mock or ridicule, we must remain calm, have to respond immediately without one's own position. And this is the hidden matter, that don't think you are mocking me. This is from Allah, and I am only conveying a message. And these are the news from Allah. We see so much wisdom in this response. Also, we learn a Nazir is one who is sincere and concerned for others. And when he warns others of dangers, he does it with concern and love. So have to show sincerity and not just say, I am so and so, but convey the truth. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. They ask so much about the Day of Qiyamah, but when they see it coming near, their faces of those who did kufr will become grieved. When they will see it approaching near, when will they see it? When the dying person sees the angel of death. Because when a person dies, their journey of Qiyamah begins. The barzakh, the hellfire, when they see it, they will recognize, and their faces will become saddened. This happens even at time of death, how some disbelievers' faces become distressed. Then there is the grave, its torments, and the Day of Qiyamah, and its punishments. So when they see it near, and they have not been gotten there yet, only when they see the angel of death, their faces will change, and their humiliation will begin, even while they have not enter Jahannam yet. On the Day of Qiyamah, their faces will turn black, as mentioned in the Quran. So when it approaches near, they will believe and all jokes will end. وَقِيلَ, and will be said, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ, they would say when they asked for the promised time to come, also referring to the time of punishment. When will it come? When would the punishment befall them? So they would ask for it. Now their faces will be distorted and blackened and filled with sweat and will tremble. And this is what they used to ask for. O Prophet, tell them, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ, did you consider, إِنْ أَهْلَكِنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. When the Prophet ﷺ began propagating the message of Islam, many youth came to the Prophet ﷺ and accepted Islam. The youth are fearless, and they do not worry about the consequences. So when they accepted Islam, it created turmoil in their homes. The family members would curse and say, the Prophet ﷺ spoiled their kids and started calling out bad things about the Prophet. They would wish for his death, astaghfirullah, blaming him for the turmoil. The Prophet ﷺ was told to tell them that if Allah destroyed me and my companions, or bestowed a mercy on us, leave us. Tell us who will save the disbelievers from the painful chastisement. Once a non-Muslim asked Ahmadi Dat, you say you have a day of judgment. If there is no day of judgment, then what was the benefit of you doing all the work you do? He said, whatever happens with me will happen if there is no Qiyamah. But you tell me, if there is Qiyamah, then what will happen with you? And if what I am saying is truth, then where will you go? the same matter, if Allah destroyed us, or however He deals with us, as you desire, wishing for our end, whether He destroys us or shows mercy on us, leave us. Whether we live or die, tell us what will become of you, which might or power will save you. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Tell them, He is the Ar-Rahman we believed in, and upon Him is our trust. All the ayahs we read with Huwa, whenever this sentence structure begins with Huwa, while it should come after, or Alayhi came first, or Bihi Tad-Daun came first, which it should have been Tawakkalna Alayhi and Tad-Daun Bihi. This switching of the words, it brings great emphasis and makes an exceptional case that this is the matter. Just as Kul Huwa, say He is the one or only one. So here it means only Ar-Rahman we trust upon, while Amanna Bihi comes after, because we believe in Allah and on the Prophets, the Books, the Day of Qiyamah, as there are many things we believe in. But when Alayhi comes first and not after Tawakkalna, because it emphasizes that we only put our trust on Allah. So the placement of the words have a reason. So by the use of this formation, it shows there are no others in whose hand is the power. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضُلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Soon you will know who is in a clear misguidance or strain. We have trust upon Allah and will shortly know. When, as soon as man's eyes close, he sees his outcome. He sees who was on the straight path and who was strayed. So you will soon know. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Now the last question. Did you see, meaning did you consider, إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. If your water sinks in the ground, if Allah takes the water deep into the ground, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Then who will bring it forth for you? Today you benefit from the clear and clean water. Tell me, if Allah causes your water to go deep in the ground, and that it goes so deep that it is not accessible, and man cannot reach it. We only know of water coming from the tap and don't know about the water in the well. But if the water stops coming from the tap, if there is no water, as man's entire life runs on water, whether one has to take a bath or has to clean or wash dishes, other than drink, water is needed for so many things. And today, there is a shortage of water in so many countries. And we learned of many problems faced by the people in drought-stricken areas. People have to stand in long lines to get water from the tap where water trickles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks about this blessing He has given in abundance. Have you thought that if this blessing was taken away and the water goes deep in the ground, what would you do? And the question should be responded to. And its answer is, Allahu Rabbul Alameen is one who can bring it back. This is a very powerful surah with many messages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this surah our companion in this life and in the grave. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the tilawa.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تكاد تميز من الغيظ. كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير. قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء